Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here.
Reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance.
Like your first home expansion.
Or your first big lightning strike.
There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents.
Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
I think it's okay to have fun. I think a lot of ladies out there are putting all this pressure on the first date. Like, I got to know something. I got to reveal the secrets of the universe must be revealed to me through this man's mouth over tapas. That's not how it's supposed to go. Have fun. Everyone just needs to relax, I feel like. I feel like the dating ethos is so screwed up because everyone is all uptight all the time because Sarah Swofford yelled at us for years in high school. And Jason and Kristalina Everett were like, and now everyone's all traumatized.
I know it hurts. I'm sorry. All right, you came to the right place, you ding-dong. It's called communication, baby.
Welcome to Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner, the only podcast where it's like you're alone in a very intimate Zoom call with just Ethan. It's your boy, Ethan. My name is Ethan. I do a podcast called The Crunch with my buddy, Patrick. Patrick and I could not find a time to record this episode, which is Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner, together. This week, we normally do two episodes a week, a Sunday episode and a Wednesday episode. Our Wednesday episode is called Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner, where we provide dating advice to people who write into our Discord at bit.ly/crunchdiscord. Today is just me. It's just you and me alone. And we're going to have a wonderful time. If you have a dating problem, please, please, please write in. We've been doing this for several years. I've answered probably hundreds of dating questions. And yet I still people still get really mad at me online, but we've got some topics. I'm just going to jump right into them today. I'm very excited. I have not pre-read any of these. It's 3:10 PM on a Friday. I'm at my in-law's house. I'm in my wife's childhood bedroom, if that gives you my dating credentials. And I'm a little under the weather. So if this gets a little crazy, a little wacky, so be it. That's the price I'm willing to pay to get you the advice that you need. Okay, let's get it going. This question comes in from the Discord from user Boggled. One of my guy friends, I am also a guy for context. Thank you. That's very important context. But a lot of times people write in, they don't tell me how old they are, whether they're a male or a female. And that just completely, someone writing in who's a 16-year-old girl is a totally different question than someone writing in who's a 35-year-old man. Very pertinent information. Thank you. Boggled. One of my guy friends, I am also a guy for context, asked me if I wanted to go to a local Catholic church for a speed dating event. And I very quickly and definitively said, no, I don't like the idea of meeting people in a dating context, nor do I like the idea of people bearing witness to my singleness. Please. I guess I like to look content where I'm at because it bothers me when I see people whose whole public-facing persona is their loneliness and need to date. Am I the problem because I feel that way? Yes. Am I wrong that a Catholic speed dating event would have that atmosphere? Yes. I've met my fair share of men and women whose yearn overshadows their passions and makes them boring people. There's a lot to unpack here. You say, quote, I do not like the idea of people bearing witness to my singleness. Get over yourself. Who's ever borne witness to anything you've ever done except God in his infinite omniscience and omnipotence? Nobody is. It's not like you're being sworn into office and people are, you know, bearing witness to your ascendancy. You're going to a speed dating event, which is fine. You don't need to. Nobody's thinking about you. Nobody cares about you, especially not at a single event where everybody is just thinking about themselves. Everybody who's going to the speed dating event is thinking, oh my gosh, did I wear the right thing? Did I say the right thing? Oh, I really hope I get matched with that guy. He's really cute. I hope I talk to this girl. She's really nice. They're all thinking about themselves and their own problems. So the fact that you assume that people are going to be bearing witness to your singleness, I think is out of line. So that's the first thing. The second thing, I don't want to be an event where I don't want to be with people whose whole public facing persona is their loneliness and need to date, just because, I mean, this feels like a very aggressive way to characterize the people that go to a speed dating event, right? Just because someone goes to a speed dating event, they might be going for lots of different reasons. Maybe they're just not having luck. Maybe they wanted to do something fun. Maybe some of their friends invited them, like your friend invited you, and they're like, yeah, sure, why not? That's just a very broad and sweeping assumption about people, just because it sounds like you have a little bit of insecurity about your own singleness. I think if someone who is truly confident and not overthinking the fact that they're single would not be saying these things. So I think you probably need to be more okay with being single, and you need to be more okay with being around other single people, because just because you assume that these people have this whole public facing persona of loneliness being their entire personality, sure, that might be how people act on the internet, but in real life, people just want to hang out. They just want to be friends. Like, it's very weird to me that you're like, I'm not going to go to this event because at this event, these people would be like this. But I don't know that because I've never gone. I think that's a little silly. I've met my fair share of men and women whose yearn overshadows their passions and makes them boring people. Have you considered that your post-ironic being better than those people also makes you boring? Have you considered that? You know, like, yeah, some people really, really want to have a relationship, and that's their whole thing. I agree that that is boring. But then having your whole thing being like, I'm not one of those single people that only wants to just be in a relationship. I'm better than that. That's also kind of boring. I think you just need to be a regular guy. And if your friend wanted you to come to this thing with him, probably because he was a little nervous and he wanted some backup, you should have gone with him. That's a good wingman thing to do. He just wanted to include you with it, and you hit him with the swift no. I'm not coming down hard on you, Boggled. I think you're a good guy. But I think you need to maybe have a bit more of an open mind about these things. Because, I mean, you're not making any progress in your singleness by not going to the dating events. Unless you've figured out a way to materially or magically make women appear in your home. Which, there are ways. There are websites. Just put in your credit card information. There they are. But I do not suggest that route for you. That's what I will say to you, Boggled. You're not better than anybody. And also, nobody is thinking about you. I'm bearing witness to your singleness right now on this podcast. Next question. This is from Thanos, the guy from the Black Panther movies. Any thoughts on a 27-year-old male asking out a 22-year-old female? Is the age gap too much? I feel like it's borderline, but IDK. I mean, when you were seven, she was a 2-year-old, you know. When you were 17, she was 12. But when you were 25, she was 20. You know, I don't think that's too helpful, actually. I think someone who's 22 and someone who's 27 can date. I think having those like 6-7 year age gaps are very normal for a lot of the older generations. And for some reason, probably because of all the weird things that can occur. But I think if you've met them, it gets weird when you meet someone when they're like 16 and you're 23. No, 16 plus 5. If you're 21 and they're 16, and then you start dating when you're 27 and she's 22, that's a little weird, you know, because then it's the grooming allegations come into play. But if you've met this person and you were already 26 and she was 21 or whatever, and now you're 27, she's 22, I think it's fine because you both met when you were adults. And if she doesn't want to go out with you, she'll just tell you no. So I think just go for it, because it's not, in my mind, it's not weird. I could be wrong. But I don't think you haven't given me any other context on this. So I think go for it. That's what I'll say. That's a short one. Easy. Next one. This is from G, which I didn't know you could have a Discord name that was just one letter. What are y'all's thoughts? This was sent in at 7:30 a.m. So you are up early thinking about this. Pop out of bed. First thing, submit a dating corner question to the Crunch Discord. All right. What are y'all's thoughts on the flirt to convert / I can fix them mentality? I am a supporter because a natural part of any good relationship is that they bring each other closer to Christ. I mean, I think you're conflating a couple of things. So, yes, we should always be striving to bring the people in our lives closer to the Lord, right? We're always meant to be evangelizing. We're always meant to be inviting people to a deeper relationship with God, especially our spouses and our significant others and our children. But the flirt to convert / I can fix them, dog, you can't fix anybody. It's weird to go into a relationship and just say a cornerstone of this relationship is I want to change something about the other person. That's just like not, that's just a recipe for disappointment, right? And resentment. I think it's fine to date people who aren't Catholic, but you need to make it clear if things ever get serious, or maybe even before things get serious, like, hey, being Catholic is something that's really, really important to me. I think it's the one true church. I could never see myself marrying someone that isn't Catholic. Is that something that you're open to discussing? And then you talk about it with them, right? Then it's an open discussion. And if they say, yeah, I would be interested in learning more about Catholicism, and I would be interested in going to Mass with you and beginning the process of conversion, great. But it's weird to date someone and kind of just be pressuring them and kind of like using your sexual allure to get them to consider your point of view, because that feels a little bit manipulative. I think all dating should be for marriage. I think there's lots of beautiful relationships that come out of people who do not share the same denomination. But I think it's weird to get into a relationship with someone and think, oh, I'm going to fix them. So that's really God's job. It's not really your job. But I think it's good to communicate openly at the beginning of the relationship. Hey, this is something that's really important to me. Is this something that you'd be open to one day? And if they say no, then it's like weird to continue to like use your body and your mind and your emotions to try and manipulate them to get them there. A person is a whole person. They're not just like a sum of little things that you like that add up to make you happy. Like the other person doesn't exist to make you feel good about yourself. So if you really like someone and they're not Catholic, or maybe a better example is like, if you really like someone, but they just are like, they really don't like the same movies that you like, or they really like, you really love sports and they don't love sports at all. Like, it's weird then to be in a relationship with the expectation that one day they will love sports, you know, like if it's really that important to you, then you date someone who likes sports. With the Catholic thing, obviously, it's way more important than sports. So if it's really that important to you, you date someone who either is Catholic or is open to being Catholic, instead of dating someone with the expectation that one day you'll whittle them down in the name of bringing them closer to Christ. Does that make sense? I don't know. I think it's just weird. I think it can get very manipulative. And I think if it doesn't go the way that you want it to go, because a lot of people's journey to God is like wiggly wobbly. It's not like a straight line. So if you have this expectation of, oh, well, I'll date them for a year, and then in month 12, they'll convert to Catholicism, and then we'll have a 6-month engagement, and then we'll get married in the church. It's just not how life works. It takes some people decades to convert to Catholicism. So to have this expectation, I think, is unhealthy. And I think if it's that important to you, you're better off either not dating that person, or, you know, having a serious conversation with them and making sure that they're willing to convert one day. And if it doesn't, you know, if they keep pushing it off and it keeps not happening and the relationship can't move forward, then you just got to break up with them. That's what I would say. I don't know. But what do I know? You know, I've only ever dated Catholics. seriously. You know, I've been on dates with non-Catholic women, as any man has. And it was a very interesting experience. Oh, I hope you can't sense the illness in my voice. I am so tired. I'm getting emails from my work. Oh, that's a long email. I will read that later. Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey guys, Patrick is not allowed on this ad read. It is just me. We have a new partner, and they specifically requested that Patrick not be a part of the ad. We are partnering with Exodus 90. We are chatting with you about some new things that they've got going on here this summer. You've heard of us talk about Exodus 90 before. You're probably thinking of Lent and the cold showers and the exercising and the guys thinking that they're cooler than everybody else. But there's actually, and I'm not just saying this because they're paying you money, there's actually way more behind what Exodus 90 does. I mean, they have a whole app. They have a whole ecosystem. They have tons of things that are a companion to help you grow closer to God. So they try to walk with you, not just in the Exodus 90 program, but through their app and through their materials so that you can really become the man that you want to be. And especially in June, they're focusing on devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Obviously, as June is the month of the Sacred Heart, as you would know, because it is my birth month, and anybody who cares about me would know that those things are correlated. I've actually taken a look at some of these daily scriptures that they've got. They've got some reflections. They've got some prayers all about the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And I've really, I mean, you guys have heard me talk about this on the podcast for years about how much I love the Sacred Heart and that devotion. And they've even got something new called the Exodus 90 Summer Book Club. So I wanted to invite you guys to join the new Exodus 90 Summer Book Club to read the book Chastity, Reconciliation of the Senses by Bishop Eric Varden. And it's a huge new book. I don't think anybody has ever heard of this before. I've never heard anyone talk about this. So this is a cool new book on the scene talking about how chastity is not just a prohibition, but it is something that will be life-giving, something that will make your life more full and help you to flourish. So you want to go to exodus90.com/thecrunch. You can check out this new Exodus 90 Summer Book Club to read Chastity, Reconciliation of the Senses by Bishop Eric Varden, exodus90.com/thecrunch. You get a 14-day free trial when you sign up with our link, exodus90.com/thecrunch. You can join the Summer Book Club. Who doesn't want a good Summer Book Club? Go to exodus90.com/thecrunch and check us out there. Thanks, guys. Talk to you later. This one's from Any advice on how to go about conversations with an ex post-breakup? The breakup was messy, and my ex is looking to talk more for more clarity on the breakup, as well as to set boundaries moving forward, which is good. However, all the texts that I've gotten post-breakup haven't been the kindest from her, and it seems to me that she is very much hurting from the situation, and I'm worried that the conversation will not be productive and help either of us move forward well. It may need some time, but I'm not too sure. I mean, I don't think there's much to say here. People are going to be hurt in the aftermath of a breakup. Like, you can't prevent that. So it sounds like this person that you've broken up with, or they broke up with you, they're hurting and she's upset. So if you don't think that the conversation will be productive, then you just don't have the conversation. Like, why do you need to be setting boundaries with someone that you broke up with? Just don't talk to them. I guess if you're like in a friend group, it's maybe good to establish like clear lines of I'll be at these things and it's okay if you're not or whatever. But I don't know. This is where it's like, it gets weird where people, it's like very, it's the therapy overload of the, we got to make sure we communicate things. I'm all about communication. Don't get me wrong. But like when you break up with someone, you don't really owe anything to each other anymore in like a relationship sense. Obviously you owe the other person, you know, charity and what all, but I don't know. Like, do you need to do this? If it's not productive and she's not being nice to you, then what's the point? Why I don't understand the need to go forward. You said it may need some time. I think that's the answer, right? Is like, you broke up, so don't talk to each other for 6 months. That could work. You're trying to solve a problem with communication that can only be solved through time, which I think is a lot of people's issues with dating, is they want to get a quick fix. Cause like, oh, this is hard. This doesn't feel good. I'm uncomfortable. Yeah. This is how breakups are. So trying to like mitigate something that's inherently, it's like, oh, I got shot with a gun. Is there any way that I can make this feel better? No. You got to wait for the gunshot wound to heal. You know what I mean? Oh, I got hit by a truck. Surely, maybe I'll just take this drug, but like all of my ribs are still cracked. That's crazy. But I took the drug and my ribs are still cracked. Yes, because you got hit by a truck. Like sometimes things take time to heal. So stop trying to fix it right away. Silly. This might have to be a short podcast. This is hard to do this alone. I think if I get to 20 minutes, I'll feel pretty good about myself. Oh, baby. This is a good one. This is from friend of the show, fellow Crunch Pilgrim to the Holy Land, Katie Rose, who has recently, like the Chilean miners, emerged from her discernment of religious life and has re-entered the dating scene. We're all very excited. Please pray for our good friend Katie Rose. Hopefully we can get her on the pod soon to kind of tell us all about her dating experiences post her year of discernment living in Atlantic City. There's only one thing I'd be discerning in Atlantic City, and that's the slots, baby. It would be not whether or not to put it all on red, but how much to put on red. That's what I would be discerning if I lived in Atlantic City, which is probably why Katie Rose lived there and I didn't. I have an urgent question. Through a quick turn of events, I decided to download a dating app on Saturday, and I'm now going on a first date on Wednesday. It's just so easy if you're a girl. I'm just saying, Katie Rose, I'm just saying. You probably made so many guys mad unintentionally when you posted this. Like, oh, I downloaded the app on Saturday, and now I have a date on Wednesday. Some people have been on these apps for months, and have not gotten a single match. The power of being a woman on a dating app is... Alexander the Great wishes that he would have had this power. Oh man. And he wept for there were no more super likes to use or something. He tries to unwrap the Gordian knot, but the knot is just like being a guy on a dating app and he can't figure it out, so he cuts it in half. Just exhausting my Alexander the Great lore that I know. Through a quick turn of events, I decided to download a dating app on Saturday, and I'm now going on a first date on Wednesday with a guy I match with. My dating experience is limited to a grand total of 3 dates, and all 3 of those were with guys I knew very well. My question, what the heck do you do? / what questions do you ask on a basically blind first date? I am clueless. You don't have to try too hard. This is supposed to be fun. A lot of people don't understand this. Like, the first date is meant to be, you're supposed to have fun. You're supposed to get to know the other person. And you're supposed to see if there's something here. If there's not, then it's like, okay, thank you for the meal. I'm going to go home now. But if there is, it's like, okay, that was great. Let's do this again. It's just like, there's no pressure. It probably feels like there's a lot of pressure because you haven't been on a date in a year and a half or 2 years because you were with Focus and then you did this other thing. But I think it's okay to have fun. I think a lot of ladies out there are putting all this pressure on the first date. Like, I got to know something. I got to reveal the secrets of the universe must be revealed to me through this man's mouth over tapas. That's not how it's supposed to go. Have fun. Everyone just needs to relax, I feel like. I feel like the dating ethos is so screwed up because everyone is all uptight all the time because Sarah Swafford yelled at us for years in high school. And Jason and Kristalina Everett were like, and now everyone's all traumatized. So I think we just all need to relax, take it seriously, but do it lightly. You know what I mean? Like approach it with intention, but you can still have fun, you know? So I think you should just go and have fun. That's truly what I believe. I would love to hear how it went. Give me a buzz. You have my number. We'll have Katie Rose on the podcast soon to tell us all about her experience. This next question is very long and we're at 21 minutes. So I think I'm just going to log off. I feel very ill. My throat is beginning to hurt from all the talking. And I have some more work that I need to get done before the end of the day. I hope this filled your slop bucket for the day. I really appreciate those of you that took the time to spend with me. I know normally Patrick is here with me, and I know we all love Patrick, and I miss him dearly. I don't realize how much I rely on him to speak so that I can have a break or take a little drink of water. Oh, my nose is running. If you hear this, please pray for me. I love you all dearly. If you want to submit a Dating Corner question, go to bit.ly/crunchdiscord, navigate over to the Dating Corner channel within the Discord server and ask your question. There's probably some people in there that will help you out right away, and then we will get to it on the show as soon as possible. That's bit.ly/crunchdiscord. We love getting your questions. If you like our podcast and you think it's worth supporting, go to patreon.com/thecrunch. We're on the road to 200 patrons, which we did not update in the main show, but I'm going to update you now how we're doing. We were at 121, and we've gone all the way up to 119. Business is booming. So head on over to patreon.com/thecrunch. Join at $5 a month. You could suggest topics for the main show. $10 a month, you get a bonus episode every week. Any more than that, it's just because you love us and you care about us. And we really, really appreciate that. Patreon.com/TheCrunch. Thank you to Exodus 90 for sponsoring this podcast. Go to Exodus90.com/TheCrunch to check out all that they have to offer us. Patrick, you have anything else for the people?
Hey, I'm Patrick. And I'm going to say something about social media consulting.
Oh, thanks, Patrick. That's a great comment. Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We will be praying for you. And we will see you all next time.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.